Today's reading was taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear says, "Because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for the reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable are treated with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concerns for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Manjot. And Rob's now going to come and preach for us.
Firstly, how amazing was Manjot? That was brilliant. Thank you, Manjot. That was wonderful. And Manjot doing our reading, it really does perfectly encapsulate, you know, what I'm trying to say today. Because today we're doing our final sermon on our series of Faith That Lasts, Building a Faith That Lasts, okay? And we're looking at belonging, okay? And our reading, which Manjot so wonderfully read, is all about different parts of the body having their own function and working together. And the fact that we've got a church that has got someone as young as Manjot acting as a part of that body is just fantastic and wonderful. And I love it. So, faith that lasts, belonging. We're going to have three main applications of belonging to creating a faith that lasts today. The first one is feeling. It's feeling like we are part of the body of Christ, feeling like we belong. The second is functioning, and the functioning is really what our reading was about. How do our individual parts all work together for the glory of God? And finally, it's growing. We're talking about building a faith that lasts. An important thing here is growing intergenerational relationships between people of different ages in a multi-generational congregation. That's a lot of long words. But first, it's important, I think, that we actually understand what this word belonging, what it means. So I've Googled it. And these are the definitions from Google. The first definition is to be the property of, and the second definition of belonging is to be a member of. Now, the first definition, be the property of, can be a little bit tricky for us sometimes, because let's be honest, nobody really wants to be someone else's property. That's a little bit a little bit creepy. We don't want to be owned by someone else. But we use this definition quite a lot as a church, because we, as a church, we belong to God. We are owned by God. God wants us to be a part of him. But this doesn't come out of some want for possession over us. This comes entirely out of God's love for us. So God loves us, and because of that, we belong to God. Now, the second definition is really the crux of what we're discussing here today. It's being a member. Okay, we all know what it's like to be a member of something. And just for a second, I just want you to take a moment and just reflect on a time when you really felt like you belonged. A time you really felt like you belonged somewhere. For a lot of you, it could be right here in this church. And just think of the feelings that you had when you were in that place where you belonged. You'd feel happy, secure, comfortable, relaxed, loved. I've been really blessed through my life to have belonged to several incredibly loving groups through my life. My family, my extended family, my amazing group of friends, even my job, my work. I really feel like I belong there. But one thing that I've belonged to throughout all my life is the church, more specifically this church. I've belonged here all of my life. And I've never in my life felt like I've not belonged in this place. But I have felt like I've not belonged in other places. I have experienced the feeling of not belonging. And we all have. So now I want you to just think of a moment, of a time when you experienced not belonging. When you're in a situation where you didn't feel like you belonged. And what feelings you'd have had then. You'd have felt fear, anxiety, worry, discomfort. And build on that. Can you think of a time where you felt like you didn't belong, but knew that you should have belonged there? And for some of us, we may not, but an unfortunate fact is that this happens in the church. We have people who know they should belong in the church, and we all know that everybody should belong in the church, because God's church is for everyone. In our reading, it says, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. It's saying that Jesus is for everyone. It's saying that the church is here for everyone, and yet we have people who don't feel like they belong in the church. And that's awful. I've experienced this with other churches. When I went to university, I tried going to a few churches, but I never was able to get that feeling of belonging, and I felt left out, and I felt isolated. Even though I knew, this is a church, this is what I've grown up in, this is what I believe, this is what I love. And yet I couldn't feel like I belonged to this group of people. And it was awful. Luckily for me, I could come home every 6 weeks and come here. But we have these feelings where you know you should belong, but you don't. And there are people who may even be in this room now, who have that feeling. Feeling like they should belong, but they don't. And of course we can say that belonging is a two-way street. You have to want to belong to something to be able to belong to it. But let's be honest, if someone's come through those doors, they want to belong here. If someone's actively made the choice to come to church, they want to belong to that church. So in Corinthians, we can see these two forms of belonging. The church belongs to God, and we belong to the church. And it's summed up in verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body. All of us together, we belong to this body, and that body is Christ. That body is God's. And what we want to do, we want to build a faith that lasts within the church. And that means ensuring that we have this culture of belonging in our church. And this is what Paul is really showing us in Corinthians. So as I'm saying, 3 points for this. Feeling, functioning, growing. First one, feeling. So feeling like we belong is quintessentially, absolutely foundational to the body of the Christ. If we don't feel like we belong, we won't function like we belong. If we don't have people who feel like they belong to the church, everything that Paul's saying, having the eyes doing the eyes work, the toes doing the toes work, that won't be able to happen if we don't have people who feel like they belong in the church. And belonging, it can't be measured. I can stand here and say that I've been coming to St. Andrew's for 24 years, therefore I belong. But that wouldn't necessarily be true, okay? The fact that I've been coming to this church all my life doesn't mean that I belong to this church, because belonging can't be measured. We can't put a number on belonging. You could say that we've got a church congregation of 300 people, but that doesn't mean anything if they don't feel like they belong. And this is because belonging's a feeling. It's not a number. It's not something you can do or say. An American poet, Maya Angelou, she says this. She says, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But they will never forget how you made them feel." And this is so true for the church. If people come through those doors and we say words to them and we say, "Oh, hello, welcome," and we act like they're welcome, but we don't imbue this feeling of welcome and belonging in them, they will never forget that. It will last with them. Saying you belong doesn't mean you do. Acting like you belong doesn't mean you do. Belonging is a feeling that cannot be falsified. It's genuine, it's innate within us. And as such, we have to be genuine in our attempts to make this feeling come around in others, because that fundamentally is our goal. We want to make as many people as possible feel welcome in the body of Christ. We see it in Matthew 19, verse 14 in particular. This is when Jesus, he's telling the disciples off, because they are trying to keep the children away from coming to see him. We all know the story. And Jesus encourages the children to come to him and spend time with him. And this was showing that these children mattered to him. So imagine how they would have felt, knowing that Jesus is there, saying to his best mates, "Actually, no, let these kids come up. These really matter something to me." Imagine the feeling they would have, knowing that they mattered. Knowing that they mattered to someone as important, as cool as Jesus, right? And that's the feeling that we want to replicate in our young people today. Keeping hydrated. Right now, not necessarily as a church, but as a culture, as a society, we're letting people down. We're letting young people down. And I've done some research. It made me feel quite sad afterwards. These are some statistics, okay? These are some statistics about belonging, particularly in regards to teenagers. Last year, there were 4,063 counselling sessions with teenagers, and these are about loneliness. Loneliness is what you feel when you don't belong. It's when you feel isolated. 73% of those sessions were with girls. 73% of 4,063. That's an awful lot of teenagers, particularly girls, who feel lonely. 25% of teenagers say they don't feel like they belong in this country. In Britain, a place where we want to be as welcoming as we can to as many people, 25% of teenagers say they don't have a place here. 70% of teenage girls say that they have had feelings that they are not good enough, that they aren't fulfilling the expectations of society that society has for them. And 14% of girls say that they are not happy with any aspect of their lives. 14% sounds quite small, but I'm a teacher. I teach a class which has got 20 girls in. 3 of those girls would feel like they have got not a single thing that's going good for them in their life, because they do not feel like they belong. And obviously I'm focusing on teenagers here because we're wanting to build a faith that lasts, and that begins with our young people. But it's not just our young people. Over 1 million elderly people say they often feel loneliness. Often or always feel loneliness. They don't feel like they don't belong. 49% of people over 75 live alone. 49%. And in this society, in this cultural context that we're living in now, we've got such an emphasis on how people behave, how they appear, and fitting in, spurred on by social media and the internet and peer pressure, that we see young people lost, scared, and confused. I see it every day at school. I see kids worried about how they're appearing to their friends. And it's awful. Society has placed so many expectations on the behaviour of young people that all they can do is act like they belong. But that's not true belonging. They're trying to act like they belong, but that's only because they don't. And this is a real problem for us as a church, because we are the one place where everybody should feel welcome, and there are people in this world who don't. David Pryor, he's talking about 1 Corinthians, and he says in verses 15 to 16 and verse 21, put them up here, he's saying that these show that we as people need each other. As humans, it's fundamental that we need each other. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. What this is saying, Pryor says, is that we all need each other. We all need each other. And because we all need each other, we need to make sure that people feel welcome and like they belong. Because if they don't, they'll start feeling like this. They'll start feeling like they don't. They'll feel worthless. And we know, and as St. Paul goes on to explain here, that these people are welcome and they are needed in the body of Christ. But if they don't have that feeling, they are not going to have that feeling. And they're not going to be able to have that function. What this does, it means that people who try to operate independently, because they feel like they don't belong, they're reducing their individual effectiveness as a Christian. And that reduces the effectiveness of the church overall. If we want to be an effective church, we need to make sure that everybody in the church feels like they belong and like they've got a place in the church. We need to be sure that what we're doing is developing a true, real, and genuine culture of belonging to promote this feeling of belonging. We need to be thinking, who can we approach? Who can we welcome and how? Are we going to people with their genuine best interest in heart? Or are we going to make ourselves look better? Are we going to people who need someone because we think, brilliant, we can get them to come to church and our numbers will go up and we'll look amazing, when they're not truly experiencing this feeling of belonging? It doesn't matter how many people we've got if they don't feel like they belong. And that's fundamentally necessary for developing a faith that lasts. And it's a clear problem for teenagers. Teenagers, out of all people, are the ones who feel like they don't belong in society. They're the ones who don't feel like they belong in church. We need to make sure that everything that we do has got their hearts and minds absolutely centre, so they feel like they belong. So we'll move on now to functioning. In our reading, Paul says one of my absolute favourite verses in the Bible. Okay, he says here, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." And I just love that verse. Okay, because it's clearly referencing for Paul diversity of the city of Corinth at that time. Corinth is a seaport. It had loads and loads of people from different cultures, different places, coming and going. And there was just huge numbers of people from different cultures and different backgrounds. And that, I think, reflects the diversity that we have today in our society. We've got a society of people who come from so many different backgrounds, so many different ethnicities, so many different class backgrounds, so many different races, so many different beliefs, so many different places that they come from, so many different things that they value individually. So many different backgrounds and talents that we can actually find unity in this diversity. This is what Paul's trying to say in this reading. He's not saying everybody should be exactly the way, in exactly the same way, everyone should become a robot and do everything in the way that that he says so. No, he's saying that we've got huge numbers of diverse people, people who have so many different things to offer. What we need to remember about this reading is that it comes directly after listing off the spiritual gifts. So Paul says that people have gifts of giving wise advice, special knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, etc. And it comes just before an explanation and a summary of the roles in the body that build on these gifts. He says that there'll be apostles, prophets, teachers, leaders, etc. He's saying that we are not all of these, but all of these are necessary. People are different, people are diverse. That's a wonderful thing. It's something that we should celebrate, and it's something that we actually find unity in. Paul outlines the importance of having a varied church, as this will allow us to be the most effective and the most functional. I had the privilege of earlier this year to go on a school trip, a school pilgrimage, to Teze in France. It was absolutely amazing. And Teze, it's a missional community where it's got monks, I suppose, brothers, who all have their own individual role in the community. Some would lead workshops, some would lead worship, some would organise visits to the community, some would essentially be youth leaders there, and they'd all have their own little role, and they all came from a variety of backgrounds. They came from different ages, different countries, different languages, but all the brothers, they were united, yet diverse, in their worship of Jesus. They were united, but they were diverse. David Pryor, he says this. Oh, that's Teze. Looks really nice. I wasn't on the picture. Functioning, Pryor. So he says this. We differ from one another, and only God who made us different can hold us together. We've got this wonderful difference, and we are made united through God. We are made together and the same through God. What we need to do, therefore, is try to avoid creating cliques in the church. We need to try to avoid having our own small little groups in the church. We need to make sure that we're actually using this diversity. I look over in front of you now, and I see so many different people of different backgrounds. We need to make sure that when we're doing things in the church, and to be honest, we're doing this quite well, I'd say. We need to make sure that what we're doing, we're not just doing with our friends, we're doing with the people who have these skills from different backgrounds. We need to make sure that we are united in our diversity. We need to make sure that we truly belong to each other. And we need to make sure that we belong to each other because we all belong to God. If we're all here, we belong to God. And this is particularly important for our young people. We need to make sure that there's clear pathways for our young people to engage in the church and to join in with how it functions. And we need to join in with them as they do that. I'm convinced that the reason that I'm stood here is because this church has encouraged me and it's grown me and it's given me a function and a purpose. When I was 14, I started helping out with Sunday Club. When I was 16, I started leading it. When I went away to uni, I'd still come back and I would lead the Chris Dingle services. when I was 21, I set up Level Up. The church has been with me in every single one of those moments. And if I wasn't given those opportunities, I'm convinced I wouldn't still be here. I'd have found something more interesting than church. We need to make sure that we're giving young people these opportunities. From our reading, some parts of the body that seem the most weakest are in fact the most necessary. We may think that our young people, that our children, are comparatively weak or undeveloped in their faith, but that's not necessarily true. Maybe the only reason that we think they're weak in their faith is because we've not given them enough opportunities to develop and enough times to function as a part of the church. And again, I say this, but you know, we look at our worship band, we look at the PA desk, and we see young people there. What I just want to encourage you today is to think about how else can we encourage young people to join in with our church. Which brings us on to our last one, last point, growing intergenerational relationships. Pryor says this quite long quote with big words in, so do bear with me. The practical application of this truth is surely obvious. Recognising hidden talent, crossing denominational and other boundaries, moving away from clerical monopoly, and developing partnership in ministry outside the immediate locality. And I first read that and I was like, what? But I think this is actually a clear call for multi-generational relationships. This means making sure that we've got a feeling of belonging that lasts within our church, applying to all, regardless of age. We need to make sure that we've got our young people's hearts in mind when we are planning things for our church. From our reading, again, this is big. Verse 26 is essentially summing up saying, if one part suffers, all the parts suffers. If one part is glad, all parts are glad. We all need to belong. We all have this responsibility to make sure that everybody in this church, young or old, feels like they belong. And we do this by planting and growing intergenerational relationships. Whew, that was quick. Intergenerational relationships. We do this by making sure that we've got people from different age groups encouraging each other. It's worked for me. It'll work for other people. He says, Pryor says, from verse 22 to 26, it shows us that we're to care for one another. Care. Caring's more than welcoming. Caring lasts. Caring is about making sure that you've got this genuine interest in someone else's life. It's about making sure that you are purposeful in your relationships with other people. And this is what we need if we want to continue to promote the feeling of belonging in the church. We need to care. And in verse 27, Paul says, "Now you are of the body of Christ and individual members of it." We maintain our individuality, what makes us unique, and that is what we can bring to the body. We've all got different skills, we've all got different talents. We all bring them to the one body, and we all work together, because that is God's plan. And I stand here as a youth leader, and as a teacher. I spend, I'll be honest, probably about 6 days a week with teenagers. It's great fun. And I'm emphasising why we should build intergenerational relationships to develop them. But it's the only reason intergenerational relationships, the only reason feelings of belonging are important to teenagers, are because they're important to all people. Right? If you're ever unsure how to talk to a teenager, just imagine they're a person and you'll be fine. Because they are. Because the same problems that teenagers have are the same problems that adults have. They're the same problems that young children have. They all come from wanting to belong but not really being sure how and not being given these opportunities to be able to do so. We all need to experience the unity of the body of Christ. And as we consider how we can build a faith that lasts in our young people, It is of equal importance that we build a faith that lasts in each other, in the church as a whole. So I'd just like to finish off with a prayer. Father God, we thank you that we belong to you. We thank you that through your love we can be found in you. We thank you for the wonderful diversity that you've given the church, the difference in backgrounds, in talents, in age and experience. And Lord, we pray that you will encourage us to use these differences to unite us together. We pray that our church will be united. We pray that through you we can continue to build a faith that lasts, and that faith is found in the belonging of the church. Amen.